Wilson, like a cork in the ocean over his head.
Marking contest over the top. Subic, great grab.
Across the ground. Bam! In comes Donny Wurzbach.
Got it out to a kick. Kick smothered. Check. Hunter! Who would have thought the sequel would be just as good as the original?
Kicks inside 50. McGovern! McGovern! What a player!
Sheik needs to be inch perfect. The
The premiers of 1992.
The 1994 premiers.
Premiers. The 2006.
The 2018 AFL Premiership team. The West Coast Eagles.
G'day everybody, welcome back to the Big Footy Eagles podcast for another week. Well, for another month really. We are back. Rounds 5 to 8 are in the books since we last spoke. Gents, wouldn't you know it, the Eagles even threw in a few wins for us to chat about as well. So that's a bit of a turn up. That's fantastic. Honey Badger 35 here. I am joined once again by Keys. Keys, g'day, how are you?
Yeah, good. 2-2 since the last pod, so it's been encouraging. So
that's good. Yeah.
We've looked pretty good across the last month, apart from some parts in the Gold Coast game that weren't so great, but we'll get to those soon enough. But yeah,
we absolutely will. Very good.
Some positivity about the place anyway.
That's it. And he's going to bring more positivity for us today. He's going to bring plenty of insight as well. Welcome back, season debut, but a long time contributor to the pod. Asterix the Gore, welcome back, mate. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for that. Yeah, like Keith said, it's been a real upbeat month. Really nice to see the, I think Noah Long is my benchmark, and he talks about us young boys. And you can really see the cultural shift and change that's happening at the club. And that's starting to not only be in podcasts and interviews and other things that we get, but you're seeing it on the field, which is great. And it's actually fun going to the football again this year.
Yeah, fancy that. It's we had a couple of interesting time slots and the like, but I think Saturday we had 51,000. Derby's always a big one. I think we had about 54 there, something like that. Say g'day in the comments as well, because I've seen a few people pop up in the comments. X-Infected here saying g'day. Is there anything to talk about this week? Is another comment. And sadly, yes, there is. I mean, some good stuff, some bad stuff. Some injuries are back, maybe bitten by the injury bug once again. Gents, let's get into it. And as I say, we're covering off a month of footy. Asterix, you can lead us off. What have you liked over the last month? As we said, 2 wins, 2 close losses, but I think most people would agree pretty spirited losses, and might have even been 3-1, had a few other things, let's say brain fades, gone one way or the other potentially. So what have you liked?
The contested football. We're alive again at the middle of the ground and we're getting the ball out. I'm also liking seeing some of the game plan unwind and seeing it where we're trying to move the ball, not all the time, and nor should you all the time try to move it frantically fast. That was the Richmond model, that it's always frantic. I think there's a better mixture of having it frantic and also sometimes taking it a little bit slower. But so the contested football is what I really, really liked. And when you actually turn up and you're watching Yo, Harley Reid and Tim Kelly in the centre clearances with Bailey Williams doing his part, that's what I've really liked. It's been a success.
Keys, when we were on here last, we talked about one of the things that we'd really disliked, and that was transition footy. It seemed, in particular early, I think the Port game and the Dogs game were the worst too. Just so easy to go end-to-end from a kick-out. You know, we were talking about how it didn't feel like a lot of the ball was coming from a boundary throw-in in the forward pocket or straight out of the middle or anything like that. It was, we'd turn the ball over, or even worse, we'd kick a point and the other team would go end-to-end. Thing I've really liked is I think our transition defense has tightened up a whole heap. Certainly it has by the eye test. And having a quick look at score sources as well here, Keys. Against Richmond, they scored 7 of their points from a kick-in. Freo scored a solitary point from the kick-in. And the Suns and the Bombers, 0. So we are not allowing a lot of coast-to-coast end-to-end footy. Now, that's obviously a very broad overview, saying, you know, turnovers, stoppages or kick-ins. They're the only 3 score sources under the metric. But I think that is at least a bit of a demonstration that the system, the structure, whatever you want to call it, it's got to be in a synergy, as Simo likes to say. I don't think that we're just getting walked end-to-end, Keys, like we were once before. So what else have you seen in the last month that you've enjoyed?
Yeah, well, I think we're just harder to score against. Richmond kicked 10 goals, Freo kicked 10. I mean, Gold Coast got a hold of us a little bit, kicked 17. And then Essendon back to 11 again. So, so we are... we aren't getting those big scores kicked against us. We're not giving up eight, nine, ten goal runs. We're giving up four, five, six goal runs a couple of times. I think like Gold Coast.
Apart from the Gold Coast.
They might have put six or seven on us, maybe. But, you know, and I think the thing from a holistic point of view is there seems to be not just on field, but generally overall the club, there's everyone seems to be pulling in the same direction, and not just pulling in the same direction, there's actually like a pretty clear direction. I think Simpson from the beginning of pre-season, Simpson said we're going to chase tests, we're going to trace pressure and front half footy and things like that, and it didn't really come off the first sort of three games because we kept on poor skills, we're turning the ball over too easily, but we've tightened that up a little bit, so we're not giving those turnovers. Probably the last two games we conceded a bit of territory. I think it was against Essendon, as close as it was, I think it was 60-45 inside 50s. But the Essendon inside 50s weren't always particularly clean. But I think there's, you know, with what Asterix sort of said, you know, the young boys are sort of coming together as a group. They've energised the older players. You can see the, you know, guys like Yo and Kelly and even McGavin, Brass, Duggan, those guys have been energised by having the young blokes. Them having then the responsibility to teach them and shepherd them through has given them some purpose. You can see what they're trying to do on field. It doesn't always work, but you can see there's a system in place that they're chasing and that they want to try and get. So and the efforts there, even in the Gold Coast game, it was, you know, was disappointing at times. With 5 minutes to go, we're still only three goals down in that game. And then they got hold of us and kicked the last three that sort of blew it back out a bit. But we kept at it. And then again on Saturday night against Essendon, there was times where you kind of thought, geez, they might get hold of us here. And then after half time we changed a few things around and came at them in a real rush. And I think had it not been for Yo's injury, I think we may very well have got him. You know, Cripps been pretty good this year, but his little brain fart, you know, there was still 9 minutes left when that ball turned over, and we would have been 3 points, 3 or 4 points, we would have been within a kick.
Even with all of that, in the last minute of the game, Kelly comes out the middle and puts it forward, you know, and as we found out, Waterman was banged up and is what it is with, you know, obviously you're going to swing a few extra numbers back immediately from the wing, but had a chance.
Yeah, we had a real crack. And I think that's, you know, if you had offered me 2-6 with a percentage of 75 at the start of the season, I would have taken it because most people were saying we weren't going to win a game until probably round 10 or 11 when we get, you know, whenever it is that we get north, round 13.
So, Asterix, you mentioned about competitive footy, well, contested footy, and Keys has touched on it there for me. The Gold Coast game, they've gone up 34 points to end the third quarter there, and they'd just kicked, what, how many in a row? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row. Good Lord. But here come the Eagles, and we came back. Cripps got a goal. Waterman got a goal. All right, the Suns got one in response, and then we bobbed up with a few more. Now, 3-goal loss in that game probably wouldn't have told the tale as effectively as Gold Coast played in that third quarter. Final margin's probably about correct. But one of the things I've liked is they didn't let go of the rope, and what could have in years gone by been a 10-goal-plus loss turned into a loss where we're kind of a bit annoyed by the margin in the end because the Suns had a bit of a flurry.
Yeah, the Suns play a lot bigger when they're at home compared to anywhere else. That's a big anomaly. I did like the way they didn't give up and capitulate. And 2022, well, in fact, there were signs of that in 2019, to be honest, when you go back and look at it all. That Hawthorn game late in the year, we just couldn't change what was happening. So, like, come on. But, they changed some things. I actually thought the Essendon game was a good litmus test. In the first half, I thought our half forwards were bloody terrible because they weren't chasing and running. And while they weren't getting the ball from turnover, they were running off the half-back flank and killing us. The other thing that really annoyed me was, what do we need to do with Tom Barras to actually toughen him up for the first 15 minutes? Because he gets ragdolled, then someone obviously sprays at him and he suddenly gets competitive again. And that's happened in way too many games. And I'm a big Tom Barras fan, but you know, I like the fact that I've got isolated incidences that I'm pissed off at and can get over that quite happily because the balance of the game is still looking good. And this is what I was hoping. I had no expectations of us being outside the bottom three. We might actually be fourth bottom. Who knows this year? But what I do like is that they are starting to get less grand issues as to what's pissing me off and a lot more comfort as to the good things that are happening. And so that overall is a good thing. You've got to go back to that Fremantle game. And how to win your supporter base again, just monster the purple turds. It's beautiful.
I mean, even in a game like that, the first 10 minutes weren't really on the Eagles' term. They kind of got a bit of an against-the-flow goal early. But Freo could have and probably should have been 2-3 goals up, maybe more if they had been effective. But we stemmed the tide for long enough and then had that little purple patch. Well, call it what you want. Had a blue and gold patch in the last 5 minutes of the last quarter, of the first quarter. And then it all set it up from there. So they're riding waves. I think to Key's point as well, it's not 7, 8, 9, 10 goals in a row. It's, all right, you can have your footy and you can kick 2 goals in that period rather than 5. Or hell, you know, if you're inefficient, maybe you don't kick any. And then we can strike back. So I like that. Keys, we're going to talk about players we liked later on, but let's rip the Band-Aid now. And I'm not talking about Harley Reid, although we could and we will. I'm talking about Jake Waterman because we will do a bit of a player spotlight. So spoilers for later. But I'm sorry, we're talking about the last month of Eagles football. How can he not be the lead story? Career best goal output is 18 goals in a season. He's kicked 18 goals, Keys, since we last spoke. I'd say, where has this come from? He's shown signs of it when he was played as the 1A in the waffle, but never like this at AFL level. And for me, he's still doing it while he's getting up and down the ground 14, 15 kilometres a game. It's just, it is remarkable this month of footy from Jake Waterman. And I just hope, Keys, that we see him come back and he's ready to get right back into this role that he's carved for himself.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it's come from nowhere, but probably it's like one of those, you know, when a musician finally breaks through and you sort of say they're overnight sensation. It took them 10 years to get there. I think Waterman's that's sort of where Waterman's at, and I think he's shown that capacity at waffle level, and I think you kind of felt like he was always going to maybe be that in between, where he's too good for waffle but maybe not quite up to speed for AFL. And he's taken the responsibility and he's really stood up, and his marking has been sensational. Against Richmond, he was against a couple of lower, Miller and I forget the other guy that was standing him sometimes as well, but he sort of, yeah, they weren't prime defenders, but then he turned around and he did basically the same thing to Alex Pearce and Luke Ryan, which is no mean feat at all. So yeah, he's and funnily enough, I mean, in all those games, he's probably left one or two goals out there. He's sort of missed, one or two each game that you sort of think, oh, he perhaps could have got them. So he's second on the Coleman, equal second. There was a I watched last night, they had Matthew Knights doing that thing with Will Schofield on the website, and Matty Knights talked about Waterman's improvement, and he sort of said, well, he's taken the responsibility now to be a bit of a leader in the forward line, and it's Waterman that's taking, without Allen out there, Waterman's the one that's bringing in the players and taking responsibility for the forward line group, and he's taken that responsibility. He's improved. His performance has gone along with it. He's been a wonderful story of this season, and probably the biggest unexpected bonus we've had.
And as Kim points out in the comments you go, Asterix. You've picked it up nicely.
Someone posted it that said Waterman looks so much better when we move the ball into our forward line quickly and when he's one-on-one. He is not tall enough to be the monster and do the big pack marks, but geez, been strong on the man-to-man marking.
Yeah.
They've been tough on him. And as you say, Essendon and Fremantle had good defenders on him. You can question the calibre of the Richmond defenders, but they tried all four defenders on him. They even tried Vlosten. And Vlosten wouldn't be that far off his height and has a decent enough tank to match him. And he was ragdolling Vlosten, which was brilliant. But you're right.
Quick Honey question Badger, here. Yes or no for his goal song? He's the man of the month. Absolutely. Chelsea Dagger, we've heard it a bit. That's his goal song that plays after he kicks it. I like that they've brought back the goal songs. That'd be the one, Casey. That's the one. I'm partial. He used to have all the wrestling theme songs. He was one of the ones that put out a wrestling song when he'd kick a goal. So I was partial to that. Casey obviously likes it. Asterix Break the Tie. Is it yes or a no on the goal song?
Oh, it's a yes.
Good job. Good man. Asterix, you were talking before about the culture and the young guys and the, I mean, we'll get to it later on in the show with some mid-season draft.
You've got to listen to Longy. He talks about us young boys.
There you go. Exactly right. Well, how have you found him? How have you found him? We'll get into specifics later on, but the general culture shift around the club seems to be. Obviously, off-field, a few personnel changes, but I just think the attitudes, even something as simple, and this is not much of anything, and yet it says a lot to somebody like me, are really encouraging you to get your scarves out, get your jackets out, wave your scarves against Essendon, just a little bit of pride and some stakes and trying to create something a little bit out of nothing. That really resonated with me in a very nuffy way, which I'll fully accept, but how does that sit for you, Asterix?
I think there's been a sweep right throughout the club, and let us take a moment to give thanks for the retirement of King Nizzy the First. And as much as he was a great servant to the club, he was there for too long and he had to be moved on. And, you know, lo and behold, you get rid of that stifling culture, because he, from inputs that I've had, he was really shit house at delegating and trusting people apart from Simpson. And the delegation ability is a sign of a good leader. He had lost that. He might have been okay in previous periods. He'd lost it. You then get the likes of Don coming in, and I think Gavin Bell is starting to really flourish as well. So someone's given him some peptides, and so it's coming from the top, the back office, it's coming from the operations, but importantly, it's coming from this group of young guys that say, you know what, we're going to turn this club around, and if we stay together, we're a good chance here to build a great club. And it's interesting because you're in a dilemma. I don't want to move off the bottom too quickly. Otherwise, you're in the problem space that Fremantle took a fair while to come off from, and it was only through multiple players wanting to shift and move and leave the club that they got more draft picks. And St Kilda had a false rise, and they have not got enough talent. So that's a, you know, I think we may not have hit the bottom yet, but I think we're not going to be a great side while we've got the likes of Rotham and Witherden still in the team. That's
I've been quite impressed by them. I don't know where you're getting with that, but I think.
But they're not players that say, right, we've got these players that can really take us to another level. They're holding statement players from my perspective.
I understand where you're coming from with the ceiling on them, but I was surprised by Widow's return.
Both players have been pleasantly surprised this year.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think those guys give us a baseline, because they're sort of mature and things like that. And you say, okay, well, we kind of know what they can give us. And it's like what Asterix says, probably right. They're probably placeholders for the time being. But at least they give us a little bit of stability, a bit of experience, and a couple of hard bodies that say, okay, well, let's, whilst these other young guys are coming through, and we, you know, for another, maybe another 2 years of drafts or whatever, at least we've got guys there that maybe we can rely upon for a little bit. I'll be interested to see what happens with both of those guys at the end of the year, because they're both out of contract amongst a few others, and there's some big decisions list management wise on the road ahead. But Rotham in particular has been, I think his last month's been actually pretty solid to a point where it's like, yeah, for now, he's probably best 22. In 2 years' time, if he's still on the list, you probably don't want him to be best 22. You probably want him to be best 30 or maybe not even there. But, you know, at least he's helping and contributing to the side, whereas I think there was times in the last 2 years when those guys played that they were liabilities. Now they're making a contribution.
I don't understand it, but I'm hearing that Witherden provides really good direction and guidance to the back line and helps the structures. So it's hard to really see that because he's not the verbal and person out there. But, you know, that part of his game I do like when I'm hearing. Is he making Brady Hoff look so much better, as an example?
Well, I'm certain that we're going to get to Hoff when we talk about player by player and a couple of guys that we've really liked. Keys, anything else that you've liked, or Asterix yourself, anything else you've liked? Because I've got a bit of a transitional point here to take us from what we've liked to maybe what we've disliked, and it does back off of what what Asterix has just mentioned. So, gentlemen, I'll open the floor. Anything else for the likes?
One thing, and it came out, the video last week of Harvey Johnson being announced as a debut, where they got him up in front of the whole club and they brought, I heard Don Pike, he spoke pre-game on 6PR and he was talking about it and said he just wants to bring all the staff, and he wants to bring everyone along, and it tied back into the scarf waving and things like that. And I think there's, it is that, there's a, there's definitely a cultural shift what Asterix was alluding to, in that they want to bring it all together. And you've got someone like Harvey who, from the bits I've seen of him, seems to be a pretty positive sort of character, and one of those guys that sort of drives spirit around the club. He's pretty happy. He's only been there 6 months. And then today at training, he's jumping the fence to go and pat a lady in a wheelchair on the back because she couldn't get down to sign autographs. But he's you know, jumped the fence, run 20 metres out to where she was sitting just so that she didn't get left out. Yeah, guys like that, they're the sort of blokes that become cultural leaders. And, you know, it's just the whole vibe of the club is different. And I'm here for it. I'm loving it.
And I think I can summarise it by saying we've eradicated "oh, woe is me" out of the club.
Yep.
For 2 years, we had "oh, woe is me" in the club, and it was not good.
Yeah. I mean, we'll move on. Even and one of that was like early on, just as the season was getting to a start, our injury list was pretty high. You know, before round one, you sort of, you know, you could feel it on our board, you know, it's like, here we go again, there's more injuries and things like that. And then you had Dom Pike coming out and going, no, it's all good. You know, we expected this, it's fine. We're getting through it. We're working on it. We know what's coming. We've got a hype. It wasn't, he didn't turn around and go, oh, shit, you know, we've got fucking injuries again. It was like, no, we expected this. This is normal. This is part of the process. It's not that, it's not an issue. And then up until this weekend, our injury list was in, you know, reasonable shape.
Still not that bad.
I think who has been hit is disappointing in terms of Alan Flynn, you know, Hewitt, and now we're getting into some other guys that are really starting to get disappointing. But, I mean, you're going to get some injuries. We've certainly got it better than Richmond do, for example. You look at, you know, they're in a spot where maybe we were for the last couple of years. They've been, oh, here we go, Kim, in fact, in the comments. Great timing, Kim. Richmond is now where we were 2 years ago. That's interesting. Two quick likes from me, which you've both sort of prompted me on. Number one, I give a lot of shit to the Eagles social media team. I think it's not good enough, really. It's 2024, move, you know, speed it up, get a little bit better at a few things. Certainly they should have the money. I would think they've got the money. I thought that piece that they did with the inaugural team against Richmond, that Richmond game, and they brought him in and Simo sat him down in the pre-game address and a few interviews, took him out on the field. I thought that was really good. And it was a dedicated video just for socials. That's the sort of standard. It's nice to see people tell them they did a good job. I hope we see more of that. So small shout out, but a shout out nonetheless. And then the other one, talking about how we're handling things, I think Simo is playing an absolute blinder with Harley Reid. Putting, not dampening it from an excitement point of view, but being very keen to remind people he's a kid. He's going to have games that he looks amazing. He's going to have games that he needs to grow into it. He's going to have moments that excite. Yeah. He's going to have moments where he needs to learn. I think he's done a really good job of not lifting him up without making him the story. I think he's protected him as best he can because, as we'll get onto later, there's been a lot of Harley Reid chat, as you'd probably expect. So, Asterix, we'll get into what we didn't like. But before we do that, a point that you made that is interesting and I want to discuss, have we hit rock bottom yet, is something you said. You're not sure that we're at the bottom just yet. Borrowing a title off the North board for that one. And where this is rattling around in my mind, and I'm sure you're similar, or maybe this is the direction you're going, Yo is one of our real heavy lifters at the moment. Gov, back to career best form, it would appear. You know, Barras, as you said, he shakes off a bit of rust in the first few minutes of a game. He's up and firing. There's some guys there. Barras will be around for a few more years. Kelly will be around for a few more years. Things like that. But when Yo and McGovern, I would say, are probably player one and player two or three in our BNF, you go, all right, well, what happens when they break down or retire? Or what happens if we get two or three absolute glorious years with them, but they've got to finish up sooner or later? Do we have the recruits coming through? Do we have the depth coming through? So is that where your head's at when you say, are we yet at the bottom?
Yeah, pretty much covered that. Let me see a full season of Oscar before I start saying our forward line's looking really good. When you look at some of the replacements that are coming in, I like where Luke Edwards is at, but shit, he doesn't look like AFL standard. He looks slow in by foot and slow in decision making. And count how many times he's at the end of a turnover or he's part of a turnover. Well, we've got that, and I suppose some of the other things I haven't liked is our depth has been tested, and you look at it and think, well, who do we bring in this week? And it's sort of like, shit, I hope Hunt's available and or whoever else. But, you know, there aren't too many yet in the waffle that are standing up and saying, like Garcia was, I had 38 touches in the Magoos. You need to pick me this week. So that's probably the part that's really disappointing me. And I've got to be honest, I really want Hewitt to work. But shit, I'm worried about it.
from an injury perspective, because it's been persistent?
It's been persistent. We knew about it at draft time, and we still drafted him. We backed in our medicos.
Did we know about it?
I think we did. And the other thing, the other one is I was really, really keen on Bajil in his draft year. I, in fact, wanted him with our second pick. And when he was still there for a third pick, it was like fantastic. And the guy, I know we've got all sorts of people who I've posted and they've said, yeah, but this time it's appendicitis or something else. So like, yeah, but he can't stay on the park. Have we got another Kafka? Have we got a guy that just can't stay? Is his body not going to be up for AFL? So I've got, that's one of my dislikes. I've got some nervousness. You know, Harry Barnett seems to be injury prone, etc. It goes on. So I like who we've been drafting. I think we've done a good job, but there's some nervousness. It's not a dislike, but it's a nervousness.
Shout out to Damien Kafka as well. I didn't expect to get a mention of him on a 2024 edition of the podcast. So g'day, Damo, if you're listening. Keys, we've had some successes. We've even had some wins, if you don't mind. But there's still plenty to be learned. And we're obviously in that phase where we are trying to grow as a club. So anything that you've disliked in particular over the last month?
Not really. There's some guys that I'd like to be seeing perhaps a little bit more from. Guys that are sort of showing bits and pieces, but they're not quite getting, you know, they're still guys like Chesser and, you know, some of the younger guys. There's just sort of, they show some good bits and then they sort of disappear out and then you just go, oh, are they there or not? The waffle side's still a concern. You know, we beat East Fremantle, which was a great result. But then the other games, the other four or five games have been 10-plus goal losses. So, you know, they might have been competitive. Like East Perth on the weekend, they were competitive for quarter and a half, something like that. And then we just got blown out of water. So, yeah, it's a massive decision for the club in the next month as to what they do with our reserves going forward. I don't know what the answer is. I've generally been a supporter of the standalone side, but even with, you know, we've had, you know, 10, 12, maybe more some weeks of our list of players playing on the waffle side this year, and we're still getting hammered, albeit some, all of those guys are sort of 18, 19, 20-year-olds and things like that. They're still quite raw, but, you know, they're playing at waffle level. So that's a concern. I don't know what the, like I said, I don't know what the answer is.
Keys?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the AFL bringing in a standalone reserves competition for all 18 clubs?
Yeah, I actually have. It won't ever happen, but I'd like to see a thing where you cut AFL lists back to about 30, 32, and then you just go, right, you have that, and you don't have a reserves competition at all. And then you have a proper VFL separate to the AFL, you have an NSAFL, you have a WA, like it used to be, and then you have during the season where you have clubs that can maybe recruit, if they get some injuries, they can go and pluck players out of the lower levels on 5-6 week contracts or something like that. Similar, the NFL sort of do that in America. So go and just say, right, we're going to bring it back and have smaller list sizes, and maybe at the same time as that, you go to you raise the draft age as well. So those competitions become feeder. You're not picking guys out of Colts, you're picking guys out of league sides when you draft them. But like I said, that's not going to happen. I think more likely what will happen is we'll have 18 reserves. We'll have full reserve sides. And when the travel, you'll travel with 45, 50 players, and they'll play a reserves game and a league game on the same week, you know, the same day or something like that. I think that's when Tassie come in, that's what will happen. Whether I like it or not, I think that's where it'll end up. And and we'll have even more travel for our guys, because even when they play reserves, they'll have to be getting on the plane as well. So
and then 19, yeah.
Yeah, so that's just how it's gonna be. And I think,
yeah, but if
we retain a waffle side, it'll only be for. I think I read that if we retain it, we have to sign a contract for 2 years. I suspect that's what they'll end up doing. They'll sign a contract to keep the standalone side for 2 years, with a view that then they'll go to a full-blown VFL, AFL reserves.
Maybe test out how it looks first, because it seems that Port's destined to head off, and similar to what they did AFLW, let a few other people go first and see how it looks.
Let Port and Adelaide be the guinea pigs and see what it looks like, and then Fremantle are quite happy. They'll stay at PL for as long as they can.
That's worked well. But they went to a soulless club.
That well, because Peel, it's the unfortunate, an alignment system would be the best for us, but we can't find someone to do it. Peel was the perfect
we can.
Club.
We can. They just don't, Perth don't want to align.
Yeah. Exactly. Perth is the answer. It's insane that they won't. Yeah. As a non-waffle person, it blows my mind that Perth won't just, I mean I've always want to use the phrase get over it. Like, it's the answer.
It's the answer just sitting there, but, you know, Perth don't want it, so... You know, whereas Peel needed Fremantle as much as Fremantle needed Peel, and unfortunately, we can't find our Peel. Like East Perth,
we've found them, but the problem is Perth is still dreaming about Murray Cooper.
It's two from two. G'day Murray, if you're listening. G'day Damien Kavker, if you're listening. We're hitting all the
there's
big guys tonight.
Against Murray Cooper is against the culture at Perth Football Club. They're minded.
Right, back to the on-field with the AFL, and something that I've disliked, and gents, you saw me show off earlier in the show because I managed to find somewhere that's got score sources. What about opposition scores from turnovers? I thought we'd solved it, and sure enough, it coincides with the two wins. In the first month, we gave up about 53 points off turnover, which is insane. I'll check an average. I'll come back to you next month and have an average for you to baseline that, but I'm willing to bet that's pretty high. So against Richmond, we've given up 35 off turnovers and 28 against Freo. I thought, how good's this? We're back. We've figured it out. We know which team we're kicking to. No, 54 last week, 54 against the Suns as well. The average has plummeted. You know, we've shaved basically two goals off the average over the last month, but trending in the wrong direction badly. And Asterix, I said on the board during the Essendon game, if you could just get a few more brain cells into this club, we'd probably be premiers. There's just some turnovers there that are, they look, footy's footy. You'll turn it over. It's not going to be clean the entire time. I get that. There are a couple, though, they still have that knack for throwing in the one or two that really make you tear your hair out.
Yeah, but I'm going to cut them some slack here. You've got young guys doing it for the first time since they've been at the club. And so there is a little bit of the sphincter having some problems when they're at full tilt. Let's review in 6 months' time when we've had a full season where Simo's given them a license to do this, and he's not balling the crap out of them because they missed a hand pass or they... The reality is they're trying to implement a slightly different, more aggressive, faster game style. And is it going to be sustainable? Can they? I'd actually turn around and say, with the likes of Hewitt and Harley Reid, you're actually going to have some better confident players. I mean, I love Brady Hoff, but he shits himself. He reminds me at times when he goes forward of Ashley Smith. And Ashley just crapped himself when he'd get to the half forward line and crack himself and think, what do I do now? And he'd kick it to the opposition. That side with a bit of maturity hopefully will come. But, you know, you've got someone like, we talked about him earlier, Rotham. He's actually starting to try to take the game on a little bit more. Not as much as I thought we would have got when we actually drafted him in the second round. But he you're not going to be crucified for making a mistake. That's clear at the match committee that they'll back you in. And that's okay. Early days.
I think the other thing with that is, I think Simpson's been, he said it more than once, he said their focus has been at the contest and things like that. And he's actually said more than once that they haven't even started working on ball movement yet.
Correct.
And I think that's probably showing up in the turnover rate, is that they're saying, right, well, let's get this part of it right first. Let's build on that. And then once we've sort of confident that we can win the ball and everything like that and pressure and force the turnovers ourselves, then we'll worry about working on moving it. I think for a guy that came within a bee's tick of being sacked last year and couldn't have complained if he was, his coaching issue has been pretty good, I think. And the way he's conducted himself.
Migs here talking about Kavker and Ash Smith. We've got Ash Smith, always have to bring up the fact that he had a deaf cat. Not really apropos of anything. It's just a fun fact about Ash Smith that he used to share. So I'll share it for him here. If you could squeeze in a mention of Damien Adkins, I'll have random Eagles bingo. G'day to Ryan Neitz as well, if you're listening. Any other dislikes, gents, or shall we put a spotlight on a few players?
Can we just get back to Key's point? We've loved the fact that the ball's going down faster to Waterman for a man-on-man contest. We're taking risks to get it down there earlier. And if it turns up in a turnover occasionally, well, so be it. That will come with maturity. That will come with experience and confidence. So I'm not as worried about that.
And also the players playing together for a period, and they get used to what each other are doing and the compact capabilities of each other and things like that. I think that makes a difference as well. Once we get some continuity over, you know, games and months and years, that'll come. And you see experienced side like Geelong, they have that. They know what they're doing. GWS have got it. They're all on the same page and they're all working the same system. And when a new guy comes in, they just plug in and they know what they need to do. You know, that only comes with the continuity that we haven't had the last 2 or 3 years.
That's the synergy there, Keys, that we're looking for, yeah.
But we're also kicking to more open positions for players to take a grab and better chance of scoring. But then that means it's a better position for a opposition to get the turnover. If we really wanted to nail it in there, you'd go deep into the pockets, which means it's bloody hard to mark. It's even harder to convert from a really tight angle. So, look, it's... our game plan is going to take 2 or 3 years before we've got it down pat, and that's okay.
Let's move on to some player spotlight. And we talked in the pre-show about picking up a player we have liked or has pleasantly surprised us. Maybe somebody we want to look to have a bit of improvement as well. So I'll lead us off with a quick one because I know he's already been brought up today. And I think, look, let's say we all put Jake Waterman forward and have that one there. What about Brady Hoff? It's just impossible not to like what he's shown. Asterix, you mentioned there about the disposal, and certainly that's something that we'll see. I was always on the fence. Is he a defender? Is he a winger? I always thought, just because of our lack of explosivity out of the midfield, you see a kid who comes in with a little bit of bash and crash, especially at his weight. He seemed very willing to take the game on. I thought, oh, all right, get him on a wing. This might be exciting. Turns out I was wrong. Turns out he's Brad Shepherd. He's very differently shaped, very differently framed Brad Shepherd. But if you're talking about who surprised me, I've gone from, okay, well, let's see what Brady Hoff is, to great. If you're asking me to do a lineup for the Eagles team 5 years from now, he's in it. Done. Lock that one away. That's great. So Asterix, that's been my guy. What are your thoughts?
Well, I was surprised because I had him as a silky half forward flanker who was an outside leaning midfielder at the point of the draft. And I got why we put him in defence, and I was a little bit surprised he's grown some more. And look, I got a shout out there. Infected Virus is on fire tonight with his posts. Good stuff. He is the Shep. He's the play on smalls, play on tools. He's actually fast. Don't forget how crappy Shep was by foot. He had a lot of clangers by foot. He was so much better by hand. So, yeah, look, Brady Hoff has a few clangers like Shep. So good analogy or good comparison. And think he's great. In fact, because he's grown, he's now the third tall, and it thinks, okay, well, we only need two key position defenders. Shout out to my good mate, Dom Shee Pocket, and because he's such an advocate of spending good currency on key defenders that I just had to mention him as well.
Nicely done. There you go. Keys, you can give us a player, and then Asterix, I know you got a couple locked and loaded who have impressed you as well. So Keys, who have you liked thus far in the last month?
He's just slow. He's sort of quietly building in the background, and he had a career game against Essendon. I kind of like what Jack Williams is doing. He's a bit of a slow burn. I think that spleen injury took more out of him last year than what we really thought. But
yeah, well,
he's sort of coming up. He's good for one or two really good pack marks a game. The last two games, I think when he's gone in the ruck, his hit out numbers aren't great, but he's actually hasn't looked bad when he's gone into the ruck. He's looked competitive. And he's generally a pretty good shot for goal. I think he's
bloody accurate.
Yeah. and from range as well. So he's a mile off the finished product. He may not end up great, but I just like the way that he's just each week he's gotten a little bit better each week, and he's just sort of building along nicely. And like 15 disposals and 3 goals or whatever it was on the weekend was a really good game. And if he can churn that out consistently, then I tell you what, when Flynn and Allen come back, we've got a real decision to make between Flynn, Allen. Well, not Allen will always be there, but Flynn, Allen, and the two Williams, they're, you know, it's going to be a question, and Darling for that matter.
And Waterman.
Who do we play? Who do we play out of that line? So that's a really good, that could be a really good problem to have.
Isn't that a great problem to have?
Don't think he was one at the start of the year. I don't think he was one that I was really factoring in could be, close to best 22.
Well, I think with where we're at in our rebuild, I guess, in the cycle of where we are as a club, he might not be best 22. You know, if we're winner takes all grand final tomorrow. Maybe he's not, well, based on last round, maybe he is. But I think with where we're at, he's such a no-brainer, set and forget him in the side and just pump games into him. So it snuck up on me. I was, when he came into the side at the start of the year, I had a look at, okay, I remember him playing a bit last year and he bobbed up with a few goals from memory, but what were his actual numbers like? He played 10 consecutive games to close the year. That snuck up on me, and I know availability was an issue, but I thought, oh, he's played a couple, but he, and then I saw, no, sure enough, he's played 10 full games in a row, bang, bang, bang. But this year, he's kicked a goal in every single game with the exception of the Suns game, I will say that, but one, had a little day off against the Suns, and then he's kicked three goals. Another thing, asterisk, that's impressed me here is the tackle numbers. He had 5 against Richmond, he's had 2 in all the other games. He's throwing his, well, what little weight he's got around for a guy of his age, he's throwing it around, he's getting involved, and I think with where we're at, just keep playing him. It's, don't overthink it, don't get cute.
No.
Put his magnet on the board, see you later, we'll see you at the end of the year.
I'm loving it. I thought when we drafted him, he had great endurance, but he was slow. He has shown he has that great endurance. His slowness is not too bad because he's normally got a slow key position defender on him. But yeah, I've loved what he's done this year. I mean, the second most surprising improvement for me, first was Jake Waterman, and the second one is Jack Williams. So absolutely with you on that one. Loving it. And back him in. There's nothing like a string of games to build confidence. You look at that clunking mark he took. That was a really competitive. In that marking set, I think, was that plonker from North Melbourne who went to Essendon, Mackay. He's a big guy. Right. I mean, I'm waiting for him to come back to have a pre-season, go and live down at Dunsborough with Jinbi and come back ripped, man. I'm really looking forward to that because it could be a delight to see. So I'm going to use that as a segue as to who have I really liked so far this year. And you stole him off me, but here's one that I'm going to be, again, thanks out to my good mate, Dom Sheet Pocket, I'm going to be supporting the old farts. And Gov, geez, he's been good in the last month. His dominance in centre half back, he's got those little low kicks that he's getting out. He's taking the risks. He's hitting them on the tip. He's doing really, really well. Gov was disappointing in the last 3 years with his injuries, but also the slow build-up and the turn to dump out kick to Gov in defence and the kick down the line. That was what I was thinking, and I was getting sick of it. But he's actually really doing well. To me, that's a huge improvement, and it's so much better for the likes of Hoff around. Tommy Cole running, he's got his role to play. He's not super talented, but when he's got the likes of good defenders around him and he's playing his role, he looks great.
Yeah.
Very happy with some of the things we're doing. Probably the least happy in defense for me, although his numbers are up, is Liam Duggan. His numbers are up. He's doing a lot of good things, but shit, he's turning the ball over a lot. And he keeps kicking without looking where the ball goes and it resolves in a turnover. But that's a minor criticism. Gov, brilliant. Loved what he's bought.
Anyone else that needs a shout out? And we might look at some guys maybe that we want to see a little bit more of Bailey in the back Williams. Half of the season. Yep.
Bailey Williams has had a great time. Elliot Yeo has also had a massive, massive 6 weeks. Thank you very much. they're the standouts for me.
The other one I've been quietly pleased with, it's not jumping off the page, but he's becoming a reasonably consistent AFL footballer now, is Petrocelli.
Spot on.
And he has his couple of brain farts here and there and things like that. But I think we look better when he's got the ball. He's backing himself a bit better. He doesn't look quite so lost as what he did. And it's taken a long time to click for him, but it looks like it is. A lot of times you say, your team's success is dependent on your bottom six, not your top six. If he's a bottom six, he's a pretty good bottom six player to have. I just kind of like what he's doing, and he can run he can run through the midfield now. He's getting some centre bounce attendances, and so I'm kind of as sort of one of the lesser lights, I'm kind of liking what he's doing as well.
He's had a couple of rundown tackles, and he showed that in his early few two or three years. Hadn't done it much of late, and this year he's had a couple of those that are sort of like, yeah, he's back. He's always
he's had a couple too.
New level.
I think it was him. There was one where I think it was Merritt was running in through the centre and close to the 50, but Petch, he didn't quite get to him, but he got to close enough to him that he couldn't sell, and he scrubbed the kick and turned it over. Won't get a stat for it, but he chased him back from 30 metres back and actually kept pressure on him. So
I think that might have been the goal, or maybe it was a separate incident where there was a turnover we turned the ball over coming into the middle of the ground, and Essendon were running at the goal in the most perfect flying V that I've ever seen. It was actually quite remarkable. And they've worked it down to the flank. Eventually it got sent to the pocket, and then they gave a little shitty squaring up kick. I think it was even the play that culminated in a 50, you know, a 10-metre, 50-metre penalty. But as you're saying, Keys, I'm hoping it was a separate incident, because if so, it means he's done it a couple of times in the game. Petch has set off from just outside the forward flank area, you know, point of the square sort of stuff, and stayed with the play through till the defensive 50 until the kick. He's always shown a little bit overhead. He shows glimpses. I mean, that he shows glimpses at a lot of things. But what I really have liked about Petch as well, and it's another tick for Simo, where I'm going, all right, try some stuff. Why not? He's in the middle. He's at centre bounces sometimes, and I don't think that's his role. But I think if you give him four centre bounces a game and or a couple of stoppages a game and say, just run through it as fast as you can, you might get a hit out to advantage and you're off. I like it.
But to me, this is the centre bounces, and I hope it's probably the Shuey impact that says, get the balance right. There were times last year that we had Gaff and Dom Sheed in the centre together, and then you've got poor old Hewitt who's lining up and is like, who's going to be the bull there? Mm. When we've had Harley Reid and we've had Yo, bring Precicelli, it brings the combined group in a really nice way. Before we finish on the who have we been delighted with, we can actually put the worst Australian and those media Vic pricks to bed and say, we don't need to discuss Harley. We all know what he's done. We don't need to eulogise over that one. We'll just comfortably keep it ourselves.
Very nice. Very nice. The crowd lift when he threw it. And he had a quiet game, let's be honest.
Did you hear that against Essendon? There's a crack in the crowd as soon as he goes near it.
The first one, the first don't argue, you're like, oh, he got him. I actually thought he was going to get caught, and players have figured out across the league, not just with him, but with a lot of players. Yoey did it for Martin years ago. Come down on the fend off hand and tackle with your other hand. Was it Merritt? The first tackler came in with that, didn't matter. And then when the second tackler came in, the place went nuts. So, you know, it is that Nick Nat against Hawthorn thing where, oh shit, anytime he gets the ball, the crowd is going, what's next? Yeah, I agree with the asterisks. We don't need to talk about him.
Yeah. He's just, all I'll say is he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And we're all fuck-faced corns having a crack at him because he's not fit. If he's doing this when he's not completely fit, I can't wait to see what he's doing when he gets a proper AFL tank, because he's going to fucking destroy teams.
Keys, just don't worry about the cornholer.
Nah, I don't click on anything with his name on it.
That's the play.
It's a shot.
That's
the play. Don't worry about him.
I did get rumbled today. I did retweet something today, but it, you don't click on it. You don't engage with it. Don't comment on it. Don't call him a fuckwit in the comments. Just, we know. We all know. It's all good. Don't play the game. Asterix, what do we need to see? Now, is this something you want to see in the back half of the season? Is this a player you want to see improve? Tell me something that you need to see through the duration here.
Can I be greedy and have two?
Go for it. Have as many as you want.
The first one I really want to see is Flynn coming in to be a bigger beast in the ruck knocks and Bailey Williams going forward. He's starting to clunk the ball in his marks. Still can't kick for shit. No, he did kick a goal. I still don't have a lot of confidence in his kicking. But I really want to see, how does he go in the second half of the year as a key position forward? And I still want to keep, I'm not sure how, Jack Williams in the team. So that's my first one. The second one, it says, I've been so impressed with Waterman, and as we're going to have a bigger forward line, I would love to see Ryan Marrick off a half-back flank. He's got sublime kicking skills.
Yep.
He's a good kick, but he actually kicks to where he thinks the forwards need to lead to, and that, to me, just shines out. I'd love to see him off the half-back flank directing traffic by foot. Now, that's a bit from left field, but there's a lot to like about him. I was quite keen on Cully, and I was a bit reserved about Marrick, but it's reversed. I'm very keen now what I'm seeing with Marrick. The guy's quality, because he reads the play. He can see the play faster than most others. But again, I come down to the point, I reckon the forwards would really want to get the ball from him as against from, I'll give a name, Rotham. Because it's the little doo-doo-doo kicks that go over, as against Ryan Marrick will kick them where he believes they need to be. That's my assessment.
Last year, even as a, well, he's still obviously very young, but even as a mid-season rookie, there was an excitement, not in the Nick Nat Harley Reid sense. There was a level of comfortability when he got near the ball where I would see him get the ball and go, oh, he'll do something with it. That'll be fine. Yeah. I'm not worried about what happens when the camera goes from the close shot to the wide shot. Who's he turned it over to here? No, he's class. And I agree with you. If you can get the ball in his hands more often, maybe that is off halfback. That's interesting. I've not considered that. I do like when he gets it on the wing in some build-up play from a flank position, you go, oh, yeah, we're on here. This will be good. So that's an interesting one.
Because he picks out targets.
Yeah. And he's not afraid to bite off a kick. He'll bite off a kick, and it's usually one that he knows he can hit. You know, Gov, God bless him, he's playing an absolutely great season. He got the brief. He was the only one that read the memo in the last couple of minutes against Essendon. Let's go. Let's go up the middle. Let's go now. But he does throw in the old, he's an 8 out of 10 kicker who thinks he's a 10 out of 10 kick decision. Marek, I reckon he's just a 10 out of 10 kick. He's really bloody good at it. Keys, what do you need to see in the back half of the season, or is there a player in particular who you've got your eye on?
I'd like to be getting more out of our small forwards. I think Cripps has been pretty solid, everything like that. I've sort of raised Petch, but he's sort of doing work a bit further up the ground. Long sort of started a little bit quiet, and I thought he actually was having a pretty good game against Essendon until his injury, which is really unfortunate. So that means we need to get a lift out of Ryan, and when he comes, I won't delve into it because we don't know the details of that, but when Brockman comes back into the side, we need to see some more from... I've seen bits from Brockman where you go, yeah, look, he's got it because he's also a pretty creative kick. He's got some nice little knock-ons and taps and stuff like that, but he hasn't kicked a goal yet. I think Ryan's kicked one in his two games. So I'd like to see those two guys in particular... have a bit more impact. We need to get those guys getting dangerous, and also putting a bit of pressure on in the back line as well. And the guy that we might with the injury to Long, the other guy we might see in the side, and maybe as soon as this weekend is Dewar. He had a half decent game in the waffle. And he had I saw with him during the preseason. So if we can get if we go back to Rawlinson and give him another crack, I'd like to just see, at least two of those small forwards really come out and start hitting the scoreboard and providing a bit more pressure. And then I'd like to see Chesser and Jimby get the ball maybe another five times a game each. Chesser's sort of getting around 10, 12. I'd like to get him, if he can get up to 15, 20, and if Jimby can get it up to high teens, low 20s, it'll sort of take a bit of the pressure off Kelly and Reed and that to, and Yo when he comes back in, to get so much of the footy. I just like to see a little bit from them. I'm fine with what they're doing, but I just see that what they do, I'd like to see a little bit more regularly if they can.
Question for you, Keys.
Yep.
Do you chuck Chesser in the guts?
I wouldn't mind seeing them do that.
This week?
I think sometimes in the preseason, in scratch matches and things like that, when he did go in there, he did all right. And I wouldn't mind just go in there and just try and get the footy rather than play that that sort of dead wing role that, there's a reason, there's a game plan reason for it and everything like that. And you want your wingers to hold their width and everything like that. But it can mean you look at a guy and he does a lot of running, and then you look at the game and you just go, geez, he didn't really do much, did he? And the guy's just burned off 14, 15 Ks, and you go, geez, he had a shit game. But then they keep picking him because he's playing his role. So, yeah,
we don't use him because there have been times, there was a time on Saturday night, we had the ball at the eastern end. It was kicking. He was 30 metres clear of his opponent and within a kick from where you could have run out from the goals and hit him on the chest. Yeah. And we ignored him. So I've seen a number of... This is not a one-off incident. There have been a number of times when he's been open and we just won't pull the trigger and trust him. So I don't know what's happening there.
Mm. Yeah. So, It's only this week. I'd love Harvey Johnston to get a full game.
Oh, yeah, that's the sub debut is.
But it's more the main one for me is just getting a bit more out of our small forwards.
You've touched on the two that I sort of had in the back of my mind there, Keys. One is Liam Ryan. He's obviously coming back off a year without footy, basically, and a serious injury. So taking some time to get up to speed, I get that. Bobbed up with a goal at the end of the Suns game, which was not a good game for him. But I thought, oh, maybe that'll get him going. Essendon game, another game for him that was not up to standard, especially his standards, which are phenomenal when he's flying. So he's got a build. I get that. I recognise that. And it looks like like it's going to be a bit of a slow build, but we are such a better side and our ceiling in the medium term is so much higher when Liam Ryan's up and around. Some people in the comments saying maybe, you know, the old Maynard matchup and get him against Collingwood usually fires him up. So you never know. Play him out of the square this week without Waterman could be a play, but just want to see him get up and about. And then Jinby was the other one. He's close. I've really liked a lot of his footy. He's building, I think he's building pretty nicely, to be honest. A game where he goes, guess what? I'm here. Just one or two and then go back to building. That's fine. That'd reassure a lot of people.
His marking's coming along
Question on, he did stand up and take a really gutsy mark in late in that game, didn't he? Or it might have been third quarter. Question on Ryan, and I don't know. You'd have to know the psyche of the guy. Do you need to give him a better run in the waffle? Because he just looks like a fish out of water at the moment. It's so obvious. And he's got, that's part of our problem in the half forwards. He's just not running with his man. So his man's 20, 30 metres ahead of him, and he's not running with him. So if we want to play him against let's put Maynard against him, well, Maynard would be licking his lips and saying, great, the guy can't bloody run. I'll just run all over him and I'll make him look stupid.
So as someone that's not an avid waffle watcher, and I'm pretty upfront about that, the game that I did watch was the game that we won, which happened to be the game he returned. They played him off the half back. And my thinking with that was not a role change, but rather they're just going to try and force feed him the footy. You're up against the reigning premiers. It's a game you're not expecting to see much action down forward, and it didn't turn out that way, thankfully, which was nice. But my perception of that was not they're trying him a halfback. It was let's get the footy in his hands. So maybe that's the sort of thing. But if you send him to the waffle, do you expect him to get much footy upfield, you know, up in the forward line? Is it, if you're sending him down there to do cardio, sure, maybe. I don't know. Is he going to get that much more of the footy in the waffle with the way that they're cracking on at the moment, 10 goal losses every week? Or do you play him a halfback flank and ask him to change when he comes back up?
Let me hijack that point for a moment. I was so disappointed. There was a podcast with Harry Barnett talking about how cheeky it was. He's saying, shepherd for me. And it's sort of like, where are the values in this group that your natural instinct wouldn't be to shepherd for him? He was saying, I was running with him, hoping for a bit of a cheeky hand pass.
Fair enough.
That really pissed me off.
Yeah. You're saying that was Ryan running alongside Barnett? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Ryan was running along Barnett.
Right.
And Barnett was saying he was running, hoping for a bit of a cheeky hand pass in case he got into trouble. And Liam Ryan saying, piss off, shepherd for me. And it's like, oh, where are the hard values in the game that a shepherd, you know, go back to Johnny Worsfold's days. His shepherding was fantastic. And we should value it more. But anyway, sorry, I digress.
No, that's interesting. Keys, how do you handle that with Ryan? Is it send him back to the waffle to get some touch, or given where we're at and given how the forward line's looking from an availability point of view, do you just back him in?
I think had Long not been injured, maybe you're talking about that. But I think the problem is, you know, if you put Ryan back to the waffle, who do you bring in? And, you know, like I mentioned D-War before, but you're not going to get any more out from D-War than you are from Ryan. So I think you've got to back Ryan and just say, look, we just need to get him a block of games and hopefully he builds his confidence and gets a bit more and improves. If you get to the bye and he's still getting 5 or 6 touches a game and kicking a goal every second or third game, then maybe you start thinking about, well, what do we do with him? And, you know, do we give him the gaff treatment? But I think for now, you've probably got to persevere and just hope that he comes good and he gets a bit of... he's probably not got a lot of confidence in his hamstrings just yet either. So he needs to, you know, maybe get a little bit more confidence in an actual AFL game, not just at training or in a waffle match, that he can really sort of burst out and know they're going to hold together.
I've not seen him elevate himself up for a decent contested mark, which is what it's all about. It's all about confidence. Sort of, yeah, is it confidence in his ability or probably confidence in his body?
I think it's confidence in his body, and you just got to persevere. Like I said, I'll probably just keep him in the side until the bye, and then and then assess it at the bye.
And Miguel in the comments saying losing Waterman, Long and Brockman probably puts the kibosh on any chance of dropping Ryan. I think that's fair. I think Sheed might be another one that's in that spot where get a bit of hand-wringing if you see him in the team over the next couple of weeks. But with no Yo and a few changes around the place, you can go, oh, okay, I sort of get – I don't love it necessarily, but I think
– Sheed's a real whipping boy for the board, and, you know, there's sometimes I want to wade into the argument, but then Sheed doesn't give you a lot of ammunition to argue his case. So, but
not at the moment, but he might build.
Yeah, I think one of the podcasts or something like that, he said basically he's got a fracture that's going to be permanent and it's not going to heal. It's just going to, so, you know, he's perhaps in the same boat as Ryan. He's just got to get some confidence in his feet and get some touch. And again, with Yo out, we probably need an experienced body. When Yo's ready, well then, if she hasn't sort of lifted his rating, well then maybe he goes back to the waffle with Gaff. But
just to check with you, Keys, on Sheed. To me, he's lost a yard of pace, what was quite pedestrian already. He's still not tackling. He's someone just pointed. He's our number one pointer. He's taken over the Marston mantle on pointing. And so when I actually look at my highlight has been our winning of contested ball. I don't want that prick in the midfield playing inside midfield when he's not prepared to tackle. I want to put him out on the dead wing and bring Chesser in.
Yep. Yeah, I won't argue with that.
Right, let's move off of that and let's move, take things off field, take things into the draft room. And once again, not an avid waffle watcher, and it'll lead into my next point, which is not an avid draft watcher. Another thing that I have always been very upfront about, but we are lucky to have Asterix on the show today in that regard, and also a few comments, I believe, Asterix, that you've had from East Coast and from Monocle, who've provided some good draft coverage for us in the past. So got the mid-season draft. We're about 3-odd weeks away from that. Look like we'll have a top 4 pick. Well, certainly, okay, let's start with that. Looks like we'll have a pick, given the long
top 4 pick.
It'll be a top 4, maybe top 3. Richmond are starting to get a bit healthy again. They're not too far off our tail. Hawks bobbed up with a wing. So, you never know. Let's call it a top 4 pick. We'll have one spot, it would appear, and I guess we hope that that's all we'll have. So, Asterix, with that in mind, is there someone we should be looking at for immediate impact? Is it one eye on the future?
Let's just go through that.
Yep.
North have got the Suns, the Dogs, and Port. They're not winning any of those, so they're going to have the first pick. Tigers in second bottom place have got the Dogs, the Lions, and the Drug Rats. I reckon they'll be lucky to win one of those. Hawks have got Saints. They're a chance there. Port and Lions, I don't think they're a chance. So they might get from 8 points to 12 points. We're on 8 points. We've got the Pies, the Ds. Don't look good in those two, I'd say, yet. And then we've got our home away from home in Adelaide against the Crows. We could possibly steal one there. So I reckon, worst case, we're taking fourth pick, if not third pick. To paraphrase Monocle, there is no Tim Kelly or Marlon Pickett in the draft from Waffle this year. There are some players playing very well, but for multiple years they've been overlooked, and he doesn't see the upside. You know, the likes of Schlong and Rogers and Clark and so forth, there's the good old names that we're seeing doing very well. He doesn't see a dream pick in the Waffle. Looking at East Coast, he's come up with Will McLaughlin, half forward, 185, Geelong Falcons. He's really hitting the scoreboard. And lo and behold, I think all of North, Richmond and Hawthorn need a forward. So if he's around, he's going to go early. I'm kind of got him down to where I think, with Brockman in trouble, Ryan not showing, and Noah Long out for the year, I think we would do well in getting our small forwards. Oscar Smart, Vic Country, Bendigo, 180. He was a midfield but lost the ability because he's only 180 centimetres. He's great with pressure. He's crafty. He's a small forward. He's got some zip. He's someone I'd really, really like looking at. O'Leary's another option. He's a Papley-type clone. So they're the two small forwards, I think, if we're going to talk about that.
And just quickly, Asterix, for the uninitiated among us, why are they there in the mid-season draft versus already gone in the national? Size sounds like a big issue.
Size is one for Oscar. He was trying to be a midfielder, but he was too small. Some guys just take a little bit longer. I mean, I remember what I was like as a difference between 17, 18 and 19. I only hit my straps when I stopped growing when I was 20. So, yeah, you're right, Miguel. Oscar's smart. He is mates with Harley. There's a guy in South Australia called Noah Howes, a key position forward. He's 196. He's really starting to clump the contested marks, and he's now playing Sandful seniors. So this is a 19-year-old playing Sandful. That's like a 19-year-old in Waffle doing really well. You've got to give them some credit because there's some good hardened bodies playing key position in the Sandful. He's someone, and I guess our mate, recruitment manager based in Adelaide, he'd be keeping a close eye on. He got overlooked again. I think it's partly some of the big guys, they just don't get their coordination in the drafting years. And they also get overly enamored by the key position players from Victoria. And so the key position players in South Australia and Western Australia don't get the same glory. I have got a question personally about Will Patton. He is a good old-fashioned fullback defender. He's not a key position. He's more the hern size from Adelaide. He's only coming back from injury. I think it's played one or two games. Don't quote me on that. He's about coming back. I'd like to know what's happened with his injuries, and hopefully we're a bit closer to that one. I was surprised he didn't at least get taken in the rookie draft, because he, to me, seemed like a good defender in that space. So there are half a dozen names that we've got out there. The big guy, I forget where he's from WA, they're writing him up in the Herald Sun as being a 199-centimetre key forward. Yeah, I'll pass on him. I'd rather be getting games into and watching. I think so. I forget where he's from. But I'd rather be getting more games into Jack Williams. I think we've got enough key 100%. Forwards to go for that one. I'm actually really – yeah, that's it. Jasper Scaife. Thanks, Miguel. I'm really keen to find out where the hell we're going to be seeing Harry Barnett play. Is it ruck? Is it centre-half forward? Is it centre-half back? Are we going to see forever injured Jamison? Is he the Franklin that Collingwood have got in place that says, actually, you look at him, he's not that great, but he actually fills the spot pretty well. He's a cheapie to have as a key defensive back to bring in. Jamison might be able to play that role if he can get on the park and stay on the park. Who else had a tall streak of Pelican shit in the defence that actually did very well? I should have thought about it earlier. I forgot. But anyway, Jamison could play that role. The rucks that can't make it as a ruck or as a key forward, can they be a decent fullback? I don't know.
Yeah.
So we need to, this is a bit of, to me, 2024 looks like a discovery year. Let's find about what we have in our list, where they can play, what the options are, and what that's going to tell us for our drafting hand this year and next year. I go, personally, if it was me, I'd go small forward.
And if you had to pick one, who are you? Oscar Smart?
Would Jed Hagen be someone you'd look at asterisk?
No.
Nicely done. There you go. Gents, any final thoughts, any closing arguments before we finish up for the day? I think we've covered quite a bit there. It's been nice month of footy.
Yeah. I'm not convinced we'll put Long on the inactive list, to be honest. It'll depend on, from what I read today, they've got to determine whether or not he has surgery or not. I think if he has surgery, that's probably him done. If he doesn't have surgery, I think they'll keep his spot open. And I think someone posted up about John Ralph saying they want to retire Gaff.
Good luck.
I don't see that happening. So I'm not sure we'll have a spot. And if we do have a spot, it wouldn't surprise me one little bit if we bring Trey Rusko in from the Beagles.
That actually isn't a bad option.
Yeah. I think he's...
I was keen on...
Yeah, I watched our pre-season and he's been consistently among our best in the Beagles throughout the year, and he... You know, I don't know. He's got some AFL attributes. He might be one that you just, put him on for 6 months and throw him into the AFL and just kick the tires and see what he offers at AFL level for a few games.
I recall, Asterix, you sort of gave us a bit of background on him in his draft year and said you were reasonably keen at the time before he went to the Pies. So I'm interested to, it's...
He played half forward, half back, and midfield. And don't forget, that was the East Fremantle Colts year that had Jackson as their ruckman. They had Sharp as their outside runner in the midfield. They had Chad Warner in the guts, and they had Rivers in the guts. So that's, they had nice, a pretty talented midfield, and he wasn't getting the midfield minutes. And I was thinking, it's because he's probably way behind two or three really good players that were, you know, again, he's decent. So if we got him, I'm not going to be unhappy. It might also be a nice way of filling his boots with an extra 50 grand and encouraging to stay at the Beagles.
Yep.
There you go. Now, we had some mortified comments that we've actually skipped over heroes and villains and things like that. So we'll do a quick whip around, get one each out over the last month. Who's been your hero? Who's been your villain? Hero, I'll take the absolute easiest path out and just say Jake Warneman. Thanks very much for coming. The new First Nations jumper, the Indigenous Guernsey, was put out today. Yes, got another good comment here from Hades. It looks good to me. I like it. Bit of mixed feedback, I suppose, on the board, but general sentiment seems to be pretty positive. So go on then, that can have another hero.
I'm buying one.
Villain, yeah, there you go. Nicely done. Comes in the long sleeves now as well, Asterix, so that's smart. Villain, the whole, yeah, on. Whatever, who cares? Kane Corn's a piece of shit. But the standing up for Horn Francis, but then going after Harley, and the one bit of vision he shows is him getting a cramp. And it's him getting a cramp, so that means he doesn't work hard enough. But Dacos in game 7 was doing X, Y, and Z, and he wasn't in the midfield. Shut up. Who cares? Shut up. I fell for it. I engage with it. Don't engage with it. I implore you. Just follow us. Don't follow anybody else. Keys, hero or a villain? In fact, get one of each.
Villain. Jacob Waddell, for people who don't know who that fuckhead is, he's a sports editor at the West Australian and the one spot responsible for the absolute shit show that is the current back page. Complete fucking muppet. I don't know how he, surely he pays to have a job. No one is paying him to do what he's doing. He's a, my understanding, he's a Fremantle supporter, so that will come as no surprise because he's a complete and utter fuckwit. He can just get in the bin. Hero, I'm going to call a tie between Dom Pike and Adam Simpson. I really like the way, I like that Pike has re-energised the club and revitalised it, and I've liked the way that Simpson has taken that on board, and I think he looked at his football coaching mortality at the Eagles last year and realised that maybe he has needed to change, and I think he's changed for the better. And I think he's getting better support from the likes of Pike to do his things. And I heard Pike say that the idea of that Johnston announcement that I spoke about earlier, that was Simo's idea. So
question for you, Keys. Do you think in the coach's box, Simo's looking more like Tim Jepp?
Simo's looking like Jepp?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know, but that's pretty harsh.
He's morphing to it.
Yeah. I'm gonna give Luke Shuey a bit of a shout out as well, because I think there was some concerns when he was appointed. It was like, what is he going to bring? They should have looked outside the club and things like that. But he seems to have, particularly with the young guys, he's bringing them along really quite well. Sneaky shout out. Luke Shuey is a hero as well.
Nicely done. Asterix, bring us home. Hero and a villain over the last month.
Well, I'm not sure whether he's the hero or the villain, but thank you, Sam McClure. You did a wonderful job in saying that the Eagles just wouldn't recruit him, and you got North Melbourne underpriced in the values. They wouldn't give up pick 2 and 3. And thank you.
I'm not going to pick him.
We've got Harley Reid and not picks 2 and 3. But in all seriousness, the villain, who stopped us from getting up at the start of the game when they go into the huddle with the roar to support the team in the huddle? That's my villain. I actually liked that. I stood and I was encouraging the people around me, get up and do something, and we were doing it, and we did it for a few years. So that's my villain. My hero, Bailey Williams. This was the year that we got the big, tall ruckman to come in and do the pack and crash, and he was going to be able to go forward. Didn't eventuate. He's just taken the ruck and the midfield on his shoulders and said, I'm here. So to me, Bailey Williams has been fantastic in the first 7 weeks. I won't overstate it. I think Bailey Williams' impact against Gold Coast, when you've got a 210-centimetre ruckman. So when you're up against Melbourne, I'm going to be really worried because you've got Matt Scorn and they get a chance and they do monster him. He's not able to get to the 210-centimetre ruckman, and Witz is the other one. So from that perspective, he struggles, but you know, he's only 199, 201 centimetres around that mark. But geez, playing well. And his time on ground is pretty high, and the number of takeaways in the ruck, his clearance numbers, you probably got them, Honey Badger, but his clearance numbers are looking pretty good.
Go on then, Keys, have your say. I'll track them down and then we'll send it home.
Yeah, I think the the tweak in the ruck rules this year hasn't helped Bailey Williams against those big guys. They can sort of stand there and just body him out, and he can't jump over him the same way. He might, like, particularly against someone like Witch was just jump, like, standing in his space, and there's not much. When you're giving a guy 10 centimetres and 5 or 10 kilos, you're not going to be able to shift him. And if the ruck rules sort of make it harder to leap, well, then, you know, you're taking away the one thing he has on him. The rules have taken that away from him.
Yeah.
Total clearances for the Eagles this year, Yo, 61. Tim Kelly, 46. Bailey Williams, 40. So not bad at all from the ruck position. I reckon that might do us then, gents. Keys, thank you very much, mate. Thanks for coming back on the show for us.
All good.
Beautiful. Yeah. Asterix, really appreciate you coming on with the draft insight, with the on-field insight, all the good stuff. And big shout out to East Coast Eagle and Monocle as well for having their say. Always like the draft chat from you boys, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Everyone in the comments, we've seen a few familiar faces, a couple of new people as well, so thank you for having your say. Follow us on, what are we on? We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitch. We're in your podcast feeds.
Quick word to... Dom Sheed Pocket, on behalf of Keys and I, the geriatrics are doing all right, you silly prick.
There we go. We got Big Footy Beef continuing on to the live stream. How good is this? We will be back probably next month, but we'll keep you posted if anything develops in the meantime. And who knows? We had 2 wins after the last pod, so maybe the Eagles might knock off the Pies this week and build and knock off Melbourne, and then we're flag fancies, I reckon. So, boys, thank you. Everyone in the comments, thank you. All the best for the West Coast Eagles this week, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye, Andy Badger.
Bye. Bye. Bye, boys.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
How you been, Keys?
Hey.
How you been?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, kicking along. Not dead yet.